I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yo, what's happening? How are you today? Take In Tierney, company for the Take In Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios, who found a better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage Wednesday around the country here. Take In Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. We got you for the next 3 hours. Simulcast on CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206 on Twitter, Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney, 855-212-4227. Interesting sports day as we get ready for Week 15 tomorrow. Lamar Jackson, the MVP front runner, officially questionable. He seems hell-bent on playing.
Yeah.
It looks like he's going to play.
Yep.
Kawhi back to Toronto tonight. He gets his ring. There's a nice little subplot there. But listen, our bomber struck, and they had to.
But you knew it was happening.
Yeah, I mean, I was fairly confident. I did say a few times on the air, I thought the Yankees, you know, they just seemed motivated differently to make this happen. I mean, listen, the Yankees have shown one thing here. When they want to get somebody, they're going to do whatever it takes to get them. And, you know, there are a couple of, and I was a little mystified a year ago, like, well, why didn't the Yankees do something more aggressive at the trade deadline? Why didn't the Yankees do something more aggressive the previous free agent, last offseason? You know, I think a lot of the moves that the Yankees have made have been really lining up to make sure that they get Gerrit Cole. They knew he loved the Yankees. He was a Yankee fan as a kid, and they opened up the book. I mean, yeah, 9 years is a long time, and probably going to, you know, CeCe went through that for the most part. And CeCe was still valuable at the end for different reasons, more so than great pitching at the end. But, and CeCe's going to join us today, by the way. But Gerrit Cole is the hammer the Yankees need. He is a difference maker, and now the Yankees are officially back to being the Yankees.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, they got to stay healthy. They've proven that they'll spend money, which is something they haven't done in a while, because for the last 3 or 4 years, it's almost like they've intentionally not spent money, not to get into the luxury situation and be hammered on the head. And it was almost like, we think we can win it all, but we're not sure we can win it all, so we're not going to overspend if we can't actually win it all. It was a weird dynamic going on with a team that historically has always put money on the table for the top stars. And now, given Gerrit Cole and his Cy Young pedigree, so to speak, they finally have the top-end starter that every really great team needs. And the Yankees have been good. I'm not crushing their starters. Tanaka's been good. CeCe in spots, you know, had his moments.
Paxton has some spots as well.
Like they had guys.
When he's healthy.
They had
sure.
guys, but none of them were like, that's the guy.
No, they weren't. They didn't have that guy.
They have the guy now in Gerrit Cole, and we'll see how it changes around him. Again, health is the biggest thing for these Yankees. But we'll see how the mentality changes up in the Bronx now that Gerrit Cole is the unquestioned ace. A couple years ago, last couple years, who's the ace?
It was Tanaka, and you felt good about it, but you didn't think he was going to give you 8 2/3 with 13 strikeouts. You'd be in the bullpen. The ace is Gerrit Cole by virtue of the big contract and the sick stuff. You know, the other thing that the Yankees are able to do this, number one, they've got the resources, but also you look at Judge, you look at Gleyber Torres, you look at Sanchez, they're able to operate in a space that they really haven't been able to operate since really the 90s when they drafted and developed the Jeters and the Posadas and all those young kids, because the Yankees, you know, re-emphasized that they had a complete organization recalibration, and I think it was necessary. And they went out there, and their farm system is stocked. They can make more moves. They can make trades. So it's amazing. As the Red Sox are getting ready to try to get rid of David Price, and very well will get rid of Mookie Betts in all probability, here's the Yankees swinging for the fences. And, you know, I got to tell you, like, I asked this question. Who's the villain in the NBA? There's no villain in the NBA. You can tell me LeBron?
Well, I mean, not anymore, because everybody's moved away.
Correct.
Like, there's no... There's nobody you focus on and like, God, can you believe it was the Golden State Warriors
for a minute where they got Durant.
As great as they were and as exciting as it was to follow them, and if you weren't even a fan, you rooted for them. Then they get KD and it's like, okay, they're the villain.
Correct.
We want to see them lose.
But that's dissipated.
There is no villain in the NBA.
Who's the villain in the NFL? It's got to be the Pats.
It's still the Pats.
But they're on, I mean, wow, what is this going on? First of all, Brady might be gone next year.
Yeah.
And even if he's not, they're not what they were.
True.
So, yeah, it's the Pats from a we're conditioned to hate the Pats or, you know, however you want to frame it.
No, you're right.
You know what I mean?
Because it's been a decade plus. And so
it's been 2 decades.
Maybe, two decades, really. 20 years. Yeah. When you think about it.
Yep.
Tom Brady started, what, his third or fourth year? He started playing. And
that was earlier than that, when Bledsoe got popped. Yeah, he got popped in, was that against the Jets in 2001?
Yeah.
Was that 2001 when Mo Lewis hit Drew Bledsoe early?
So it's been.
Yeah, he wasn't waiting until his fourth year to play. So he got out there a lot earlier than that.
So it's been 20 years.
He's been playing for a long time. He's been waiting for a long time.
So it's like conditioned villain.
Correct.
Not necessarily the current villain because they're good, but they're not the best team in the NFL.
Sports needs villains, and I really believe that sports needs the Yankees to have a villainous cape. When the Yankees don't have a dark cape, the Yankees, the sport.
Why is that, though?
I don't know. I think part of it is jealousy. I mean, let's be honest. When you have the ability to cut a check for $324 million with no regard to the future.
But the Dodgers did that. I mean, the Dodgers had the highest payroll in baseball a couple of years ago, right? It was like over $300 million. It was ridiculous. But they never became the villain.
Because they've never won. Like, yes, there's a great – we romanticized the Dodgers for sure.
Yeah.
And the Dodgers, you know, going back to Koufax, they finally broke through, and the Brooklyn Dodgers finally won a championship in 55. But the Yankees own baseball. The Dodgers were cute. The Dodgers were a cute little story.
But it's been a long
lost
time.
Every year in the World Series.
True. Last couple years.
Yeah. I'm talking about back in the day.
Oh yeah.
Like in the 50s. Yeah, like they finally cracked through.
They did it again. A couple years ago.
So they don't have the Yankees DNA.
I hear
you. And plus, there's the vitriol, you know, pertaining to sports. The West Coast doesn't generate. I know the Dodgers Giants is a good one, but the Yankees Red Sox rivalry at its apex, I mean, it was combustible. People feel that.
The only thing that makes me think differently is that the Yankees haven't won in a decade.
That's why they're spending. They're not used to this.
2009
That's right.
was the last time that they won a World Series, and you think, I mean, the hate, the dislike. It's dissipated.
I agree.
Because they've been really good, and they have interesting players, the Aaron Judges of the world, et cetera. So it makes you feel good about them again, but not hate them. I think the villain in Major League Baseball is the Astros, and it's interesting because it wasn't until 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago that you started to look at them as the villain because of the way that they built themselves with their farm system. And we talked multiple times after they won the World Series of the Sports Illustrated cover prediction because how they were building their team, and it was right. They actually got the MVP right as well. It just felt like a likable team.
The Astros. They didn't become villains until they got pinched for cheating.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
So like, they did it the whole right way.
Yeah, they did, for sure.
They took an aging, man, he's at the end of his career, Justin Verlander, and now he's winning Cy Young's at, what is he, 36 years old?
36.
And so it's like they did it the right way until the cheating scandal. However, have they even played that out? What's
going
to happen?
No, they're going through this.
Until that, you love the Astros.
Well, I have great respect for their organization.
There's no doubt about it.
I don't anymore.
But now they feel like the villain. They are the villain.
But that's going to subside because think about this. Gerrit Cole is now gone. Mm-hmm. Verlander was rocked in the postseason. And I know, he's still very, very good. But they might trade Correa.
Yeah.
I don't know that their staying power is as much a guarantee as some people think.
Well, look,
the pitching?
If you're not getting the signs of what's coming,
where's the pitching?
Is Jose Altuve taking that high fastball over the left field fence?
Well, Chapman,
if he doesn't know it's coming?
Seriously. I mean, I'd like to give him the benefit of the doubt. I'd like to think that he's great enough. I'm going to give him the respect and say, yeah. But I mean, it makes it a little bit easier for sure.
Yeah.
All right, so then we have co-villains, if you want to make it that way.
Yes.
And
definitely co-villains. The Yankees won't be villains again because I don't think the money matters anymore. Like, how much money people are giving out doesn't matter. Like, Bryce Harper got, what, $313 million?
330.
They're over 330 over 13 years. Manny Machado got a ton of money. Like, people are giving money. Money's not the issue anymore.
It's the winning that's going to come
now. It's the winning.
But that's what's going to come. The Yankees are going to start ripping off. Teague, I've seen this my whole life. I mean, you have to understand.
But it's been a decade, though, BT.
But I understand it. But it's the same exact script. What makes it interesting? You got to look at this. So the Yankees win the World Series in 2000. Mm-hmm. They win it. They lose it in 01 to the Diamondbacks. Everybody remembers that.
Yep.
9-11, broken bat, base hit up the middle off Mo. Boom. They lose it in 03. They get knocked out early in 02. I think that was the Angels in 02. And then in 03, they lose to the young upstart Marlins team with all those young arms, right? Beckett, et cetera. So then they go on. There's this general malaise where, you know, a couple years they don't qualify for the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Things are getting a little lean. 1 year they didn't qualify. And then they said, whoa, 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 this is not the Yankee way.
Yeah.
And they go out in 2009. CeCe Sabathia, who joins us coming up next hour, A.J. Burnett and Mark Teixeira, $250 million.
Yeah.
They win the championship in 09.
Yes.
Okay.
But was that team hated? Because of how they won it.
There was still lingering. No, you mean the team that won it in 09?
Yeah, in 09.
No, but there was lingering animosity from. They still had a villainous characteristic from the previous Yankee team, and some of the guys were still there.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know, like, people hated Clemens. It was an embarrassment. It was an abundance and an embarrassment of riches. But now here we are. Okay, so they do what they did in 08, they win it in 09. And it's the same script, almost the same amount of years. You know, all right, you know, you're knocking on the door. You have three non-playoff seasons, 84 wins twice and 85 wins. And Yankee fans are like, wow, I mean, George Steinbrenner's now, he's been gone for a while. Is this the new Yankee way? And
felt like it.
And part of it was welcome because you draft players, you develop players. There's a more of an organic feel, but you needed the hammer. Tanaka, love him, not the hammer. Paxton, love him, not the hammer. This guy is the hammer. And baseball is going to start hating the Yankees again because they're going to start destroying people again.
But
and
only,
I love it.
But only.
I love
only
it.
Only if they win. Only if they win.
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, you know.
And
yeah,
they got to win.
Yeah, you got to win. Yeah. And I'll tell you this. Forget about the Yanks for a sec. This is so good for baseball. Think about what happened last year. Machado signed on February 19th.
That's right. I mean, it was like, man, are these guys going anywhere? Does anybody want these guys?
February 19th. Bryce Harper signed on February 28th. Keuchel and Kimbrel signed in June.
Yeah.
After the draft for compensatory purposes, blah, blah, blah. Baseball needed an offseason with action. And here we are, Strasburg, 7 years, 240, boom, staying put. Gerrit Cole completely flips the balance of power from the Astros to Yankees. And how about this? I just saw this tweet. So, and it makes sense because I've been following these stories. The Red Sox could move Betts.
Mm-hmm.
The Cubs are likely to move Bryant.
Yeah.
The Indians are likely to move Lindor.
Isn't it hard to trade Bryant?
No, as I said yesterday, they just need to figure out if it's that extra year because that'll determine what they could ask for in return, what kind of hole they could get back. That'll be rectified soon. The Astros might move on from Correa, and I read a story today that the Rockies are entertaining offers for Arenado, which would completely change the third base market of Bryant and Donaldson.
Yeah.
So this is the offseason that baseball really needed, and I love it.
Well, you know what it tells me? You know what it tells me?
Well,
is that it's not about the bats. It's not about the guys that are going to hit home runs. It's not about the guys that excite you day to day that matter in baseball. It's about the guys with the arms. And I'm not just talking about the Cy Young winners who are finesse pitchers like Dallas Keuchel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the power pitchers who are going to blow you away. You're going to take the ball and throw 200 innings or close to it if you're allowed to get to 200 innings anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But be that guy. That guy is valuable. Strasburg is kind of that guy.
For sure.
Gerrit Cole is definitely that guy. If one of them comes available, we're coming to get him.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
If a Bryce Harper comes available, yeah, we want him, but we'll wait. That's what it feels like.
You need
the arm,
especially
in
October. There's nothing worse than grabbing a piece of wood and they're all night games.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, 37 degrees out, and you're getting buzzed on the handle.
Uh-huh.
Guy throwing 99 with late movement. I mean, and think about a lot. You know, you're not going to get that out west, obviously. But when the Giants played in the postseason, won those three World Series, San Francisco was obviously very different than Southern California. It's chilly. New York, whether it's the Yankees or the Mets, Chicago, the Cubs or the White Sox. White Sox obviously were in the World Series years back, 10 years ago, whatever it was. you have some Boston when they're good. It's cold. I know Houston's indoors, but the Indians are a perennial playoff team. It's chilly and clear. You have a guy that could throw gas and has multiple pitches. I mean, it is different than having, you know, seven or eight guys that can smash 30 bombs because the seams are different and the ball's juiced up.
And then in October, they go cold.
Yeah.
Literally and figuratively.
So here's the poll question. Correct, Teague. With the Yankees breaking the bank for Cole, has the evil empire regained the top spot on the most hated franchise list? We put this up there. 48% of you say yes. 18% of you say no, and I put the other option is the Astros, and then in parentheses I put cheaters, and 34% of you are still reserving that animosity for the Astros.
I think it's going to be the Astros.
And, well, let's
People
get some calls.
The Astros right now.
855-212-4227. You might hate the Yankees. You might, maybe that hate kind of dissipated a little bit. I believe this triggers it because now you realize that the Yankees have resources nobody but the Dodgers have and a willingness to spend, and now they're going to bludgeon you with the bats, and now they have the requisite arm to really, you know, make sure they close out series here. And I just think it's good for baseball. They were kind of – and baseball's in a great space. The Braves are really good. The Nationals won the World Series. The Astros have been great. I mean, all these – the Padres farm system's coming. Toronto has three sons of major leaguers. The Toronto's coming in. I mean, Cardinals are a terrific fan base. But without the Yankees being the Yankees, baseball's never at its apex. And I believe the Yankees are back to being the Yankees, and it's awesome. Unless you hate it. And we'll get some calls in this coming up. 1-855-212-4CBS. All right, so we've got CeCe Sabathia coming up next hour. Phil Simms joins us next hour as well. Question for you. We could debate this a little more thoroughly today. If Lamar Jackson, and he's listed as questionable, I know he wants to play, you know, for the greater good. Do the Ravens need to intervene and say, this is a team we can beat without him, which is probably true, the Jets tomorrow night.
Short week.
Make sure our guy's ready for the stretch run. If you're the Ravens, what would you do? Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, so now you got to start winning the big one there, Mr. Booney.
Yeah, and, well, really, Garrett Cole's got to start winning the big one.
Well, but you're not going to get rid of Garrett Cole. You're going to get rid of the manager if you don't start winning.
True.
World Series.
Look, playing in New York is an interesting phenomenon. So Garrett Cole excelled. Really, he's excelled his whole career, but he excelled in Houston partly because, I don't want to say there was no pressure on him, but it wasn't a ton of pressure. It's like, hey, you got another ace. You got two guys that are amazing. And so in tandem, it was easier, right? You could have an off day and you know what? You're going to get picked up the next day. And then at the break, you get Greinke, and it's like, we have the best rotation in baseball. The pressure is not necessarily there. Now you come to New York, and you're making $324 million over 9 years, which is ridiculous. Awesome for him, but just, man. Wow. That's just, I think
crazy.
About that money.
That's
I'm
crazy.
Like, man, are you kidding me? Right? And so, but the expectation is going to be humongous for him in New York. Now, we've seen this in many different ways, in different sports in this city, and the pressures that come from being the man. We saw how Eli handled it once he became established. He got his big contract. I believe it was after his fourth year, maybe his fifth year. He'd had a Super Bowl under his belt. So he was in a similar vein that we look at as Garrett Cole, the guy on the sports team in New York who has championship pedigree, has a huge expectation. How are you handling both the positive and the negative? Mm-hmm. Now, we saw how Eli handled it. Eli was steady Eddie. Whether you're praising me, whether you're dumping on me, whatever you're doing, I'm steady Eddie. I'm going to say the right things. It's going to roll off of me. Garrett Cole seemingly, and I don't know him personally. We've never talked to him on the show.
We haven't had him on.
You rarely hear him talk interview-wise, but it seems to be a fire there, right? There seems to be I can't even put it in the words that are acceptable for radio, but he'll get fiery at you, right? If things go the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right for New York?
Oh, yeah.
Is he going to thrive in New York? Because that's the question. Like, look at Carmelo in New York. Mm-hmm. When he was successful, great. When he wasn't, it wasn't so great, right? So there's many different ways that you can handle playing on this kind of stage.
That's true.
Is Garrett Cole suited to do it in New York?
I believe he is, and I think it's a really fascinating look into the mind of many athletes who have passed through this city. You know, New York's eaten and swallowed up a lot of really good players that just didn't work out well.
Right.
And not just players who were drafted here, but more specifically players who were brought here with an expectation to deliver a championship or get to that next stage or beyond. And, you know, really, you know, without going back to the 50s, well, there wasn't any free agency back then anyway, but the first one was Reggie.
Yeah.
You know, in my opinion, the only athletes that have fallen a little short in New York are the ones who were brought here with an expectation that didn't match their skill set. Reggie Jackson was brought here because Reggie Jackson was a beast. Reggie delivered.
Yeah, I hear you.
A-Rod was brought here because A-Rod was a beast. It took a little while. A-Rod delivered. Mark Messier was brought here because Mark Messier was a beast, and Mark Messier delivered. The guys that are a tier below that are the ones who have sometimes struggled because they try to be something they're not. My point is, Gerrit Cole is at the top of his game and at the top of his field. He will be just fine.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting question to ask CeCe because CeCe was brought here
to be that guy.
And he delivered. He delivered, but he also had this easy demeanor. He was he was fiery on the field. Mm-hmm. I mean, even last year. Was it last year or 2 years ago? He was cussing at the guy walking to the bench.
It's happened a few times. He
had that fire that felt like a New Yorker.
Uh-huh.
But his personality is, like, chill.
You're correct.
Right? So he kind of fit perfectly here in New York. It'll be interesting to see how he handles it because it's a different kind of pressure, especially if things go south. Just a little bit.
Yeah. You
know, I'm not talking about like he falls off the table and he's not worth his 300.
I know what you're
saying. Not his 300. That's never going to happen.
He's good, but he's not great.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Does he live up to his 324 man? That's what it'll be. And if he goes a little bit south, people say, he's not worth it. Well, can he come back out of it and prove him wrong? That's the question that you ask about New York. Because once they start getting on you, they don't ease up until you prove them wrong.
You gotta crack through.
Yeah, you gotta prove them wrong.
Hold your hand and say, let's walk together to get through the threshold.
That's right.
You're like, we're waiting here. When you get your act together,
that's right.
We'll stop booing you.
Which is exactly what happened with Carmelo, it feels like.
Yeah. Carmelo's so interesting. Another one was Gary Carter, who, and may he rest in peace, the kid died way too young.
Yeah.
He left this earth way too young. Gary Carter was one of the absolute best players in baseball with the Montreal Expos, brought here as the final piece to the Mets puzzle because the Mets were really good in 84. They were even better in 85. They needed him. He comes, World Series, boom. They deliver in 86. He hit a home run on opening day off Neil Allen and the Cardinals in his first game as a Met. He had big game chops. He started the rally. Bill Buckner's error, he was the one who got the first base hit. So, the superstar always finds a way to swim. Earl Monroe, when he was brought here to pair with Clyde Frazier, these two egos, do they both need the ball? Now they find a way to make it work. Carmelo's the one guy, but I also think he was so one-dimensional. I don't know. I mean, I never viewed Carmelo as one of the five or six best players in basketball.
Yeah,
always maybe the best scorer for a couple of years.
But the trade felt like so important. You know what I mean?
You know, like
important.
It was definitely important.
Yeah.
It was important. But it was made even more important. Any success he had was probably overstated. Any failure was overstated because the Knicks have been in such a bad space.
Yeah, so it wasn't all him.
Differently
it wasn't all him. And if the discerning minds could realize, it wasn't all him.
Correct. Correct. All right, Gerrit Cole. What do you think, Ack? How's he going to do in New York City?
Very well.
Exactly. Did I miss anybody? Gary Carter, Earl the Pearl.
You'd have to. These are going back.
Reggie Jackson, A-Rod.
Dave DeBuscher.
Messier.
All the sports.
Dave DeBuscher for the
was
first
here
Knicks.
Too. That's right.
And a
little more current.
Yes, I know. And a guy that will go very much unnoticed, but had a very big impact, Butch Goring.
From the Islanders.
They picked him up. They won 4 Stanley Cups.
I'm getting a little nerdy for us with the Butch Goring reference, but I like it. I like nerdiness.
He was a very big part of it, though.
As I'm sitting here like, who?
Who? I'm looking at Al Arbor, Dennis Potvin, Clark Gillies.
They needed him.
Billy Smith.
Man, sucks.
Yeah, that's a good chance.
You wanted a different guy who came in before but became
before
an integral
that? What,
No. Before what I'm about to get to.
Gotcha.
Before the title started for the Yankees in the 90s, Paul O'Neill.
Wasn't the last piece, but an
integral part of it, though.
For sure, but now you're going in a different direction.
Yes.
I'm talking about the guy.
The last
when he
piece
was
of the
traded
puzzle.
For Roberto Kelly, he was thought to be initially a platoon guy, can't hit lefties, a little hot-headed. I'm talking about the unchallenged star at the top of his field. Yes. They always find a way to swim. That's what they do.
Yeah.
Axe update is coming up right now. We've got inbounds, out of bounds after that. CC Sabathia at hour number two. Exactly what Garrett Cole will face from a pressure point of view. And Phil Simms will join us in hour number two as well as we get ready for week 15. Here's Axe update right now. All righty. Time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day here on Tiki and Tierney, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question coming in from Stu. Not Stu Gatz, but Stu in New Jersey. I'm sure there's a Stu Gatz in New Jersey. If Lamar Jackson wins the MVP, will it force more GMs to maybe take a chance on college quarterbacks like him? Well, first of all, I don't know if there's anybody like him. That's the first thing.
That's a good point.
But the model like that, Teak, what do you think? I would say that would probably open up some eyes and some avenues.
Well,
sure,
we remember back when RG3 won Rookie of the Year. It was like, oh, he's changing the way the quarterback position is going to be looked at in the NFL, and it didn't. It went back to the old way.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's more the college coaches coming into the NFL than it is these young college quarterbacks coming into the NFL. They're more open to trying different schemes. So I think the short answer is yes. How long that lasts, well, it's going to depend on how good the coaching is on this level. We're seeing it in Arizona with Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
Yeah, it's coming.
Okay, I don't disagree. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. We'll get to the blast here in a second. I wanted to play something for you. This was, haven't heard from Jerry Jones in a couple of days. This is new content.
Settle down now.
Settle down now. Hey, get your damn act together now, boys. Get your damn act together now, boys. I know you got your questions to ask me here, and I'm going to answer them the way I want to here. But I've been traveling all night, and I'm a little tired, and I have to talk to Jack Roush, you boys, today.
Settle down.
Settle down just a little bit there, sucker. Settle down now. All right, so this is not really funny, but it's interesting. Jerry Jones was asked on 105.3 The Fan with our buddy Sean and RJ, and he was asked about Urban Meyer, and Jerry Jones spoke about that.
We have not met with any coach, not met with any, specifically, why in answering that question, I don't want to imply that we wouldn't in a way that would diminish the credibility of the coach, or in this case, a player or somebody you're asking about. Normally when somebody says, have you met with such and such, are you interested in such and such, and you said, I have not, its implication is you're not interested. That shouldn't be brought forward either. The facts are we just have not talked to any coach, potential coach in the NFL.
Jerry, try a little too hard there, man. Dude. Sometimes when you get in trouble with your wife, you make up this elaborate lie.
And just keep talking.
Sometimes you just got to keep it nice and succinct and move along here. You know what I mean? A little too long there, Jerry. We don't believe you.
No, we haven't met. We haven't talked with him yet. Would have done the story.
Well, he can't say that.
We haven't talked with him yet.
It's just like taking
we haven't talked with him
an axe to Jerry, to Garrett's head.
Yeah, okay, but he's going to say in I don't know, a 3-minute answer. No, we haven't met with him, but hold on. Just because we haven't met with him doesn't mean that we're not interested in him.
And we still could be.
Sometimes when you answer those questions, ask those questions, and that means that you're not interested, but we're not saying that we're not interested. But we haven't talked with him yet, because we might be interested, but I don't want to offend Jason Garrett, who's still our coach and gives us the best chance to get to the Super Bowl and win this thing and turn it around. But, I mean, Urban Meyer, if you're listening, we are interested, but we're not interested. So, I mean, what am I saying?
Jerry,
settle down now,
Jerry. Oh, my God. Dude, that was good. That was a long. I was wondering when you're going to run out of twists and turns there. That was pretty good.
That's what it sounded like listening to him. Hold on, Jerry, where are you going with this?
But the sad thing is you're messing around. He's not.
I know. Because he was caught talking. And
he's in a tough spot.
He didn't know when to stop talking. That's the problem.
That's why I said sometimes you got to know when to shut up.
Yep. Just say a couple words. No, we haven't talked to him. That's good.
The looser those lips get, the more the faucet drips.
He is content for days. Jerry Jones, I mean, RJ and Choppy have like the greatest.
RJ and Sean
have the greatest.
What's their rating for that segment?
Dude, they have.
I know they have good ratings.
It's got to have the
what
greatest
is their segment rating for Jerry.
I have no idea.
It's got to be a 20 share.
It's got to be unbelievable. Because it's. Even if they don't ask anything relevant, it's just interesting. Just let them talk. The question, though, I mean,
I would love to be. What comes can you imagine me interviewing Jerry after a rough loss? Oh, God.
That would be.
He's got so many. I said this when you were out.
He's got so many endearing qualities.
Oh, of course.
I wish he could stay around forever.
Me too.
In the NFL.
I agree.
NFL's a better place with Jerry
Jones.
He
is a great character. I like him. He is a great character for the NFL.
I like him a lot,
there's no doubt about it. But speaking of Urban.
Yeah.
We have no idea what Urban's what he wants to do.
He wants to coach.
Of course he does, but where? Does he want to stay in college?
Probably Dallas. Who doesn't want
to come to the NFL? Do you think he'll make a good NFL coach?
I would hire Matt Rhule. If I'm an NFL coach and I have an opening, and Matt Rhule's the first person I'm bringing in. Now, he's going to be with the Giants. I don't think that Matt Rhule would be with Dallas, and I don't know that Matt Rhule has the persona that Jerry's probably looking for.
I
don't know. Then again, Jason Garrett has no persona.
But I think that's why it works.
Does it work?
Because he's got a benignness to his personality.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, that's why a lot of people think Urban wouldn't work.
Agreed. That's why I'm saying that. So in some ways,
I'll tell you who should hire Urban Meyer, the Browns.
Hmm.
Bring him back to the state of Ohio. Just give him the keys to the Browns. Get the hell out of his way. Just get out of his way.
Yeah.
Let him fix Baker. Get out of his way.
But is he known as that guy? Is he known as the quarterback whisperer?
Couple of good ones there. Yeah, Braxton Miller was good. Cardale Jones was good. JT Barrett was good.
Yeah, off the bench, Cardale Jones.
Everybody was good.
Off the bench with like no experience at all. Wins a national championship.
I mean, Braxton Miller moves to wide receiver for JT Barrett. And then JT Barrett gets hurt and Cardale Jones comes in.
True. Part of that's recruiting, though. And so,
but he's the head coach. He's bringing him in.
I know. I'm not talking about it. I'm talking about developing. The NFL is just a...
Somebody's got to take credit for their development, no?
Yeah, I agree. But Jason Day was not Jason Day. What am I forgetting?
Ryan.
Ryan Day was at the latter end of that and with Dwayne Haskins, et cetera. But I don't know. I often wonder about college coaches who have a demeanor that fits college.
Mm-hmm.
But Urban feels like he has the demeanor to fit the NFL also.
I agree.
Right? It's not loud and bombastic and, you know, jack you up and, you know, push you out and
overly collegiate, tricked up.
It seems really detailed.
Like Eddie Orgeron wouldn't work in the NFL.
Yeah.
And that's not a shot at Eddie.
Yeah. It feels really detailed, Urban Meyer.
Correct.
Like the way he goes about building game plans and building relationships and, you know, setting expectations. It just feels like easy to process.
I agree.
So, and that translates.
Yes.
Because the last thing you want to do with a very different locker room, diverse locker room, not different, but very diverse locker room, is be extreme. Like, be on one end of the spectrum and half the guys are like, oh, hell yeah. And the other half are like, bro, come on. So I think he actually would be a good NFL head coach.
You know what I'm actually a little surprised about? I wasn't sure. Well, nobody was sure, to be honest, about Kingsbury.
Yeah.
Was he too? You know what? I got to tell you, he's got a pretty good professional demeanor.
Agreed. And
on the sideline.
And that tells me, that's what I feel like as I'm talking about Urban Meyer. Mm-hmm. It's similar.
Mm-hmm.
My question with Kingsbury wasn't, you know, what's his personality like or how is he as a dude? It was more, you weren't successful as a head coach in college.
Yeah.
Right? How is this going to translate into the National Football League? And are guys going to respect you when you don't come with, like, flags to raise, you know, or banners to to talk about?
Mm-hmm.
But he's doing a decent job. Like
they got to really fix that defense from an offensive point of view, which is what he was brought in there.
They lack a lot of talent.
Well, their defense is bad. I think it's the worst in the NFL statistic. Right. I think it is number one worst. We're number 32 worst, depending on how you look at it. Yeah. The defense is bad. I'm going to stay on the record. We'll get to the blast here in a second. I honestly believe that Matt Rhule will be coaching the Giants. I've been saying that now for about a week or two. I believe Matt Rhule is going to get that job.
More so after Pat Shurmur basically says, I don't know if I'm going to be here.
it's over. The only curveball there is if Gettleman stays, and I get rid of him too. But if the Giants keep him, I could see him making a move for Ron Rivera, given their relationship in Carolina.
Hmm. The Giants aren't quick to pull the trigger on things.
I know they're not, that's actually served them very well.
Right.
But I feel like this is what the coach. You know, I mean, listen, you know, Shurmur's gone, but I don't know. I don't know for sure that Gettleman's going to be gone. It just feels like it might be time to start over. It might be. Here's a question for you. I think Joe and Evan brought this up. It just kind of came up real quick today on FAN locally. If they bring in an entirely new regime, the Giants, GM coach, and they're not enthralled with Daniel Jones, and you've got the second pick, I know Chase Young is incredibly appealing.
Yeah.
Is there any chance, like if the Bengals took Chase Young, is there any chance that you'd be tempted to take Burrow?
No, I can't
and trade
it.
Daniel Jones?
No, I can't see it happening. But
would you at least be open to the possibility?
I wouldn't, because I like Daniel Jones.
I like him too. I think he could be good.
I like his skill set. I think he's not being, his skills aren't being fully utilized, because he's an athlete.
Yep.
Right? He has the ability to move the pocket,
yep.
to bootleg, to get under center, take a snap, and not be so predictable in what the play call is. And it's just you're not seeing it, right? Saquon doesn't move around. He just lines up side saddle to Daniel Jones and runs inside zone. It's like, I hate that. You're not giving him a chance to be the athlete, the superior athlete that he is. And so I would say no. I see Daniel Jones as the future here.
I agree. I'm just curious. All right, let's get to the blast here. Here we go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for the blast with Tiki and Tierney.
Speaking of coaches here, Tiki, Mike McCarthy wants back in. Deal me in. Play a little poker. He wants to coach in 2020. Should he get another shot? What would be a good fit?
Oh, God. Should he get another shot?
There.
I'm going to say, yeah, he should get another shot. The question is where. I mean, it's we're going to have to wait to see who gets fired here.
Mm-hmm.
Washington might be a spot for him. He's veteran enough that he'll have the respect of some of the veterans there.
Yep.
And he's experienced enough that he can manage what feels like a little bit of the front office dysfunction.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say Washington.
Interesting. I absolutely think that he should get another shot. I believe he absolutely will get another shot. I've got a different destination for you, and it's in his old division, Detroit.
Mm.
That sound pretty good?
Yeah.
Bring some intel of the division. You know the whole division. Mike McCarthy to the – that just struck me as I was reading the questions. Could be interesting.
Yeah.
All right. There we go. The Eagles lose Alshon Jeffrey for the season. You saw this as soon as he went down. You knew that that was an unmistakable Achilles injury. How big a loss is this? It's big because their other receivers are horrendous. They're just not good. They drop passes.
Yeah.
They get no separation. You got 2 good tight ends for sure. I mean, you know, Ertz is a star. Goddard, you know, early in the season was stealing catches from him. Goddard's very good. But you still need some vertical threat. Listen, even with Alshon Jeffrey, I still think Dallas is a little bit better.
Yeah.
But without him, I mean, they're cooked. They're in trouble. They have a lot of injuries.
How big of a loss is this? Enormous, because he's on my fantasy team and playoff start this week. I'm cooked.
Wait, you can't even pick up anybody because it started.
I know.
You were definitely – who are your other receivers? Were you definitely going to play him?
Well, it's
was
like –
was he a guy who played every week?
Yeah.
And you're in the playoffs?
Because I have Christian McCaffrey, Alvin Kamara, and Lamar Jackson.
Oh, my God. How do you lose with those guys? What's your record? Yeah, did you lose 2 games?
No, 3. Lost 3. God. I last lost week because he didn't play, and then Josh Jacobs didn't play either. So I had, like, nobody. So
that's what you care about.
Philip Dorsett is my receiver. I loaded
you're
up on running back.
Week,
I'm not.
You're not going to win.
Because there's no receivers. There's no points.
You can't win.
You can't win.
All right, the Heat with an epic comeback with 22 straight points to beat the Hawks after Trae Young was flapping his gums saying it's over. No, it's not. Do we like confidence from Young, or should you keep your mouth shut, Young Bucks?
I think you should focus on winning a game and then flap all you want.
His stats are incredible.
They're ridiculous.
I mean, they're really insane.
He kind of ruined a great night by DeAndre Hunter, too. He had 28, I think.
Did he have that many?
Yeah.
Nice.
Maybe something like that. He had a big night. I saw it on social media, UVA, basketball, reposted it.
Sure.
You got to wait till after the game if you're going to start flapping.
You know, it looks bad when you say that and then you lose, and then Jimmy Butler calls you out on social media after it for saying that and losing. But you know what? It speaks to the kid's conviction, and in a week we'll forget that this happened, but the fact that he was, that he was confident enough to say that,
yeah.
I think that's a pretty good look into who he is and how he thinks. So you'd like to finish the deal, but I'm actually okay with it.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
Tonight. Any good college hoops tonight? Outside of Man versus Bear, of course. Let's see here. What do we have on the college?
My half sister and half brother are in tonight.
What are you guys doing?
They're coming to the house.
They're staying with us. Spending the night?
Yeah, they're staying with us until, and their spouses. stay with us till
combinations for 20
till Saturday. I'm looking forward to it.
Now, you've spent time with both of them before, though, but this just, is now just, they meet the girls, just, and it's
just,
a little different.
Just briefly with my half-brother.
Yep.
More with my half-sister, because she came for Kinky Boots, etc.
That's
cool. I saw Jonathan last week or 2 weeks ago when I was in Oklahoma.
Uh-huh.
That was really the first time I spent any time with him.
Wow.
It's kind of
That's got to be kind of cool.
It's fun. I'm looking forward to getting home.
Absolutely. Pour yourself a little scotch. Get to know your half-brother.
That's right.
Well, have a great night with that. That sounds pretty cool.
Appreciate you, brother.
That's good. Everybody else, have a great Wednesday. We'll see you tomorrow. I'll catch you on Man vs. Bear, and we'll see you back here tomorrow. Peace. Got to go.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.